there have been a lot of disasters and stories of people suffering in the news recently. Maybe that's the case all the time, unfortunately. But we have these floods. There was the shooting in New Zealand last week. All sorts of disasters and people suffering. And there is a tendency among some people, sometimes when disaster strikes, to start looking for blame. And particularly to start blaming the people themselves. Well, they must be bad people. God is punishing them. I think particularly the one I think of is Pat Robertson, I believe it was, after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, was saying, well, God sent the hurricane because of their lifestyle there in New Orleans. I don't know what the Pat Robertsons of the world say when they get hit by disaster, but there are those people out there, and it's not a new phenomenon, as we hear in the gospel reading this morning. In the time of Jesus, there had been some disasters. There was this killing by Pontius Pilate of some Galileans. We don't know the details of it. There was this Tower of Siloam in Jerusalem that had fallen and killed some people. And there were those saying, oh, well, they were just bad people. God was sending disaster upon them. And notice, Jesus steps in and says, I hate to burst your bubble, but do you really think those Galileans who got killed were worse than you? Do you really think those people got crushed by the tower falling were worse than you? You're all going to die. You know, this is the happy Jesus talking here. It's a good reminder. You're all going to die. But I tell you, unless you change your hearts and lives, you'll really die. I mean, what I think Jesus is saying here is making a distinction. We are all going to die physically. We can't avoid that. But Jesus, I think, is starting to talk about a different kind of death, perhaps. Spiritual death, perhaps. Being cut off from God. And that's why he starts talking about changing hearts and lives. And who among us really, at some level, however you envision God or a power in the universe, don't we all desire to be connected in some way? That's, I think, what the psalm is talking about when it talks about feeling sometimes like we are dry and thirsty, thirsting for something. I think there's a lot of people in our world who, beyond just the thirst for water itself, which is an increasingly scarce resource, we all, I think, thirst for something, wholeness, completeness, something maybe more spiritual, purpose, meaning in our lives. And our world can seem like a dry and parched and barren desert sometimes in that regard. And so we have this desire, this longing. And now let me move into the parable that Jesus tells. Jump back into Luke. After this reminder about death that Jesus gives, he tells this parable about a fig tree. It's really about the owner of a vineyard. In this vineyard is this one particular fig tree, and the owner has been waiting for 3 long years for this tree to bear fruit. And in exasperation, he goes to the gardener and he says, you know what, I'm tired of wasting my resources on this fig tree. Just cut it down. Let's be done with it. And the gardener says, not yet. Not yet. Let me pay special attention to this tree. Let me water it. Let me fertilize it. Let me tend to it. Give it special attention. give it one more year, one more season to bear fruit. Then we can talk about cutting it down, but not yet. It's a parable of grace. And it seems to me fairly obvious who at least some of the characters in this parable are meant to be. I think it's clear that we are the tree, whether that be we as the human race, we as a world, we as individuals, but we are that tree. And I think it's clear that Jesus is the gardener, the gracious, loving, caring gardener. I think that's got to be Jesus. Now, it is a little questionable who that vineyard owner is. Is it God? Maybe both the gardener and the owner are different aspects of God. Because I sometimes think God must often get very frustrated with us. You know, not just having waited 3 years, but having waited thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years for us to bear fruit. And we keep messing things up. And after a while, I have to wonder if God sometimes regrets that promise to Noah that he would never again destroy the world. You suppose God ever gets frustrated with us? Ugh, I'm done with them. And then maybe his more loving side kicks in. Or maybe it's Jesus saying, give them a little more time. In the past, I've always thought this parable was really about the tree, about us, about how we still have another chance to do better, to bear fruit in our lives. But this week, as I've been pondering the parable, the gardener has been taking on more and more importance as I read this parable. I mean, the tree really doesn't do anything. Did you notice the gardener does everything? The gardener is the one who says, give them more time. Give the tree more time. I'll pay special attention to it. I will water it, tend it, fertilize it. The gardener is saying, I'll do all the work. And then maybe this tree, with my help, will finally bear fruit. The active person in this parable is that gardener. I mean, can a tree make itself bear fruit? Can a tree will itself to bear fruit? Or like us, can the tree sometimes get in the way of bearing fruit? Do you suppose trees have doubts about themselves? I don't feel like a pear tree. Do trees get afraid sometimes? I'm not sure I want to bear fruit. Someone might take it. But here comes this gardener saying, I'm going to tend to this tree. Now, the tree may not like all the attention I'm going to give it. Sure, I'm going to be watering it. It's thirsty, remember, from the psalm. I'll be feeding it. It'll be satisfied as if it's eaten a rich feast. But, you know, tending to a tree also requires some fertilizer. That's manure, folks. You suppose a tree that gets a bunch of manure spread around it thinks, oh man, that smells awful. But it's necessary. There are other places in Scripture where we are reminded that God prunes us. To help a tree bear fruit, you might have to prune it a bit. Maybe Jesus comes into our lives and cuts off certain branches that we thought we were going to head in a certain direction, and it gets cut off for our own good. The tending to the tree is not going to be all fun and games for that tree, but it's necessary to help it bear fruit. Maybe part of our journey through Lent is being reminded of the importance of our gardener, our good shepherd, our Savior, And maybe part of the turning, the changing of hearts and lives that Jesus talks about really just means to turn back to the gardener, to be open to the gardener tending us, caring for us, pruning us, fertilizing us, so that we can bear fruit. And maybe it's not even so much up to us to do anything except let ourselves be tended and cared for and pruned and fertilized a bit. So that's what I'm pondering here, really in the middle of our Lenten journey to Good Friday and Easter, to this moment that reminds us of the lengths and the depths that our gardener is willing to go to show us how much we are loved and cared for. That maybe part of our journey through Lent is letting ourselves be tended and cared for and pruned and fertilized, to let ourselves bear fruit before the time runs out. Amen.